Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, in America's most popular, self-proclaimed, right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Hey, this is pretty cool. The Senate has voted to build a fence between America and Mexico, a 370-mile triple-layered fence along the Mexican border. That's cool. Now, the border is how long? Almost 2,000 miles long, something like that. And so 370 miles. Well, it's a start. And good fences can make good neighbors. So that, of course, getting control of the border is the first step in a rational immigration policy. So that's great. And Mexico is in a mess, right? In 2 months, they will be electing their next president. And many in Mexico fear that their country is teetering on the edge of chaos. According to an Associated Press story out today, they write about a poll published Friday in Mexico in the Excelsior newspaper. And that poll, this was a pretty well done poll in Mexico. They went to 1,000 homes. Normally a poll in America, you get a phone call from somebody, or they stop you at the mall, the shopping mall, or a computer calls you and you press some buttons, or it's on the internet. But in Mexico, you know, they have low cost of labor there, so they take this very time-intensive approach, but it's also a pretty good way of getting information. They sent people to 1,000 homes across Mexico, and as a result, they believe the margin of error is within 3 percentage points, which is pretty good for a poll. And they asked the people, what do they think about the government? And it turns out that 50%, half of Mexicans, now you got to hear this, because we have a lot of friends that go to Mexico, people who own condos in Mexico. Half of Mexicans believe that their government is on the brink of losing control. This poll was conducted by a company called Parametria, and it was an extensive poll. Now, why would they think their government is on the brink of losing control? Well, just recently, police, enraged by kidnapping of 6 officers in Mexico City, they clubbed unarmed detainees because they were mad. A bloody battle between steelworkers and police left 2 miners dead, and drug lords posted the heads of decapitated policemen on a fence to show who's in charge. So Mexico is certainly in the running for being considered as the next banana republic. Mexico is falling apart, and that's all the more reason why people are desperate to get out of that country and come here. And your heart has to go out to the families living in squalor in Mexico. And of course, people who live there are part of the problem. Just like in America, all of our problems, we are part of the problem. But the poverty is oppressive in Mexico. And of course, they're going to want to come here. So what we need to do is the KGOV immigration solution is secure the border, do away with welfare so that we don't doubt the intentions of people coming here, institute a brand new criminal justice system, one that truly is a justice system, so that criminals and the criminally inclined will not come here because they think they could rip us off or worse. So get rid of welfare, fix the criminal justice system, put a fence across the border and secure the border, and then open up the gates and say, if you want to come here, you're welcome. Come on. Because God tells us that the second most important commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. And of course, that should influence our foreign policy. That should. So America should be a welcoming nation to people who would like to come here. And we realize that one of the primary demographic factors for whether or not someone will trust in Jesus Christ is if they live in America. So when a family comes here, when an individual, a family, preferably grandparents, parents, kids, when they come here, chances increase dramatically that they will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and that they'll trust in him as their Savior and Lord and be saved. And on top of that, they become an asset to our community, to our nation, to our economy. Of course, that's when you're not run by liberals. Liberals see human beings as liabilities. To a liberal, a human being is an eater, something that has to be taken care of. But to a conservative, human beings are assets. They're extraordinary resources, and they produce wealth. So that's the difference, whether you're a liberal or a conservative. So conservatives should recognize that when you have good government, then freedom pretty much enables everyone to have an ever-increasing standard of living. And when good religion is preached, then not only can you have wealth and a good standard of living, but you can have a really good quality of that living, the spiritual, moral, social quality of that living. All right, so now we're going to go to Canada, the Great White North. Canada, we can't wait. This summer, my family and I, we try to take a road trip every year for our family vacation. We drove south to Mexico last year. I think Mexico's a little too dangerous this year. So we're heading north to Canada, British Columbia, and Vancouver, Victoria. It's going to be beautiful. Steve Hawkins, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
How are you, Bob?
Doing well, sir. We're coming to visit your country this summer.
Well, we'll let you in, but I hope you're not offended by what you're going to hear on our TV and radio stations.
Oh, boy. What if I promise not to listen?
Good for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, give us an idea, Steve. What is it like living in Canada, listening to the radio or watching TV?
Well, it's pretty much against the law to say that you're against homosexuality in this country.
Wow.
You know, so freedom of speech, I guess, stops there.
And now, wait. Canada considers itself more liberal and more left-wing than America?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, and they are.
Yeah.
And that is liberalism. Liberalism does not support free speech. Liberalism supports the government forcing its version of morality on people. That's what liberals do,
yeah.
And they lie about it. We conservative Christians, we're much more honest about our agenda.
Exactly.
Which is sex outside of marriage is not only a sin, but it should also be a crime.
Exactly.
Okay, so what's up, Steve?
It's quite disturbing, though, to represent, you know, a Christian viewpoint, and all of a sudden there's no such thing as freedom of speech.
Yes.
You know, that's disappointing, but...
That is devastating.
Christ basically said, you'll be hated because they hated me, right?
Yeah, I imagine somewhere across that great country... There will be someone who will be arrested and go to jail because he's reading out of the Bible.
Yeah. Oh, no question.
Yeah.
No question. The reason I wanted to come on, it's interesting how you your thoughts and observations sort of capture my attention. And you know, when I watch a television program or something, I'm kind of looking at it critically as. I'm not saying as you would, but
yeah.
With the same sort of foundation.
Yeah, as a right-wing Christian would, someone who takes the Bible, God's word, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do we analyze current events and what's going on?
Well, I recently watched a program on the ape family.
Oh, yeah.
On Europe. National Geographic.
Was it in Turkey, the family who walk on all fours?
No, this is just basically observations of apes in the rainforest.
Oh, this is a different ape family. Okay. Sorry, you, yeah. Steve, you probably missed that story. But
no, I remember that.
You remember
and
that
you
one.
Had, you had a comment about you see that downtown Denver at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, right. People walking on all fours.
We have that same problem up here.
Yeah, and the evolutionists are so desperate for evidence for their theory that man has evolved from slime that they look at these people who are sort of hunched over, and they say, look, they're the missing links.
Yeah, that's right.
It's just bizarre. It's truly bizarre.
Yeah, exactly. But my observation was they were who's the gal that lived with the apes? Is it good Jane something?
Jane Goodall?
I don't know. She's a bit of a flake.
Well, she lives with apes.
Yeah.
Is she the out of Africa gal?
Yeah, that's the one. So she was with a team of younger students observing apes, and they were, I mean, first of all, they're on the floor of the rainforest looking up in the trees trying to spot them, and they're very, very difficult to spot, but she has the eye for it, and she can pick them up.
Hmm.
But the camera work, I must say, was incredible to see these animals going from tree limb to tree limb and hiding from them. And I all of a sudden got the idea, like, why during evolution
did we lose that ability?
If anything, they should have evolved wings, but they went from being very efficient with four limbs to coming down to the danger zone.
Yeah.
And walking.
Really
that
foolish.
That makes no sense.
Yeah, the missing link.
Yeah.
Turns out it's Tarzan. Tarzan is the missing link.
But that was just my observation. I don't know if anybody's picked that up. But it just doesn't make sense that, you know, if only the strong survive, why would they expose themselves to coming down to the floor of the rainforest and being in danger
That's a good point. And also, why would human beings be so much more susceptible to bacteria and viral infection when we expose ourselves to, you know, say, rotten food? Or there's an animal lying dead on the ground, and some other animal just goes up and starts eating it.
Exactly.
And we are way more susceptible. We're more vulnerable physically. And God gave us an intellectual capability that would offset our physical liabilities and weaknesses.
Exactly.
Right. Whereas if it's just evolution, why not say stay strong? You know what the evolutionists think? They like to look at hominids, these Australopithecus and all Homo habilis and all these guys, and they like to say, look, their head is getting bigger, their skull, and that means they're getting smarter. And that's really dumb for some obvious reasons. Like if you go to a college class and say it's physics and you look at the skull sizes of all the students. So you got three or four guys with really big heads and two or three others, guys, gals, with really small heads.
Yeah.
Well, the people with the small heads do the worst, and the people with the big heads and the larger brains, are they smarter? Of course not. But evolutionists, they say, well, look, from Australopithecus, like Lucy, to Homo habilis, their brains got bigger, which means they got smarter, which is dumb. I mean, that's not scientific. That's silly. But on top of that, Steve, you put your finger on something. When they estimate the size of the brains between Australopithecus and Homo habilis, and they say, look, their skulls, the brains, they're getting bigger, their skulls. When they make that calculation, because usually they only have a handful of bones and they're trying to figure out how big the skull would be, they ignored the fact that these creatures swing through trees and they have large upper bodies.
Mm-hmm.
When they estimated their brain size, I mean on the classic estimation of that, where they said the brains were getting bigger, they ignored the fact that they swing through trees. And it turns out that that's one aspect of your body that helps to determine brain size.
Is that right?
Yeah, so they ignored that. They assumed that Australopithecus and Homo habilis walk upright, and that's when they calculated their brain size, which was a mistake. They ignored that they swing through trees, which evolutionists agree they did. And then they came up with, oh, look, the brain is getting a little bigger. That means they're getting smarter. They're becoming human.
Wow.
It's all dumb.
Wow. Just to switch gears just a little bit, what an encouragement it was to hear Gianna speak on your program.
Oh, wow.
Wasn't that awesome?
Yes.
And to sing the national anthem?
At our state House of Representatives in Denver, Colorado, and she's the gal who was aborted in her third trimester by Planned Parenthood.
What a ministry.
Yeah, she is really neat. And Planned Parenthood failed. If they could go back in time, they would kill her.
Mm-hmm.
And they would make sure they didn't blow it, especially once they heard her sing. I mean, they would really despise her and want her dead.
And all the other babies aborted, can you imagine their talents?
Yeah. She's just an extraordinary gal.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay, God
bless. Appreciate every once in a while we get this call, a number of calls from Canada, but a Steve Hawkins that we have become friends over the airwaves, and that's pretty neat. Well, I don't want to give the name of this homeschool curriculum publisher, Christian school publisher, because they're really a great Christian publisher. But here at Bob and Yurt Live and at Denver Bible Church, we expose the liberal and the conservative. That's what we do. And so we look at Christian curriculum, and so often we see so many things that parallel pagan ideas and superstition in Christian curriculum for kids. But this is something else. This is something that is, seems to be influenced by our modern animal rights culture. This is in a solid Christian curriculum, a book for kindergarten kids learning how to read. And here's a story. I'm going to read it to you. It's Miss Mouse. Miss Mouse, and there's an illustration of a mouse in a kid's house, right? The mouse on a house. This mouse is in this boy's house, and the boy is making sure that he doesn't get caught in the mouse trap. And instead, the boy wants him to eat the family's food, the grain. And of course, the moon through the window is very happy about all this. And so the story is Miss Mouse. Miss Mouse likes cheese. It is a real treat. It is not a treat if it is in a trap. Look out, Miss Mouse. Do not try to eat that cheese. It is not safe. Grain is good for a mouse to eat. Grain will make a good lunch. Now, this is for a kindergarten kid, and it reminds me of all the Disney cartoons and other cartoons, the Ted Turner cartoons, all the cartoons for kids that show that it's bad to kill an animal, and it's good to protect an animal and to let the animal have the people food. And those who kill animals, the hunters in kids' cartoons, are usually evil people. Anyone who would consider killing an animal is evil. And then that's just the beginning of it, because then it's also the loggers. If somebody's going to cut down a tree, he's an evil person. Now, this ideology doesn't come out of nothing. They don't just suck it out of the tip of their thumb. Where do they get this from? Well, God is our creator, and we are to worship the creator, not the creation. But when you reject the creator, what are you left with? You're left with the creation. And so people worship and serve the creation. They think of it as Mother Earth. They want to save the earth. They want to save the whales, save the trees, save the bugs, literally. Kill the Christians, kill the babies, kill the unborn kids, save the bugs, save the weeds, save the trees, save the mice, save the rodents, save the disease-infested cockroaches. So there was a minister in Colorado, and he was involved with the Front Range Center for Spiritual Growth, whatever that is. Sounds like a government church. Front Range Center for Spiritual Growth and Community College Annex, whatever it was. He was the pastor of it. And I had him on the show probably 12 years ago. And I remember asking him about abortion, and he was pro-choice. And I asked him, well, how about animal rights? Oh, we should take care of animals. It's wrong to kill animals. I said, why would that be? And he said, because everything is made in God's image. That's what he said. So I said, well, what would you recommend to somebody who they're in their home, say bad neighborhood in Denver, and they see a cockroach running across their kitchen floor? You know, those things are fast, right? So they see a cockroach running across their kitchen floor. What would you suggest? He said, well, I would get it and put it outside. If you do that, if you encourage people to do that, the cockroach is going to get away. They got to stomp on it as fast as they could and kill that thing. They're going to just kill that thing. And he said, well, you're asking me what I would do. I would try to get it and put it outside. And so why is that? Why not just stomp on it and give these people a better chance at having a home that's not infested by cockroaches? Maybe that's a mama cockroach going to lay 100 eggs behind the dishwasher. Gross. And he said, because all living things are made in the image of God. Now, that's a perversion, right, of the Word of God, of the Bible, because the Bible says that God made man in his image, not cockroaches. So I asked him, I said, well, how about the little baby boy? In fact, I showed a picture on the TV screen. We were on TV at the time, Bob and Yurt Live. I showed a picture of a baby in the womb, probably at 6 months, and he's sucking his thumb. Beautiful little boy in the womb. He says, oh, I'm pro-choice. So I said, well, isn't that baby made in God's image? He said, well, I'm pro-choice. So what do you say? You say, you hypocrite. You hypocrite. You would protect a cockroach and kill a little baby girl. You hypocrite. You hypocrite. We have a DVD, one of our classic TV shows. It's called Eagle Eggs. And on this show, it was funny. Actually, we did this twice. And this, I think, is the second time. Is this the first or the second time we did this? We pretended, Bob and Yurt Live, when we went on TV, we're on Channel 53 in Denver, which is a 5 million watt full power TV station. It was on cable and broadcast, both. And then we got picked up by a satellite network. And we were on in, about 15 cities, 5 nights a week. Then a second network picked us up simultaneously, and we're on about 60 cities. Then a third network picked us up. And so we're on in about 80 cities, 5 nights a week for 3 or 4 years, having a great time. But when that all started on TV, the TV station we were on, they didn't have a studio that could broadcast live. We had to go out, since we wanted to take calls, we had to go out to the transmitter shed in Elizabeth, Colorado, which is way out in the middle of nowhere, dirt roads. And people knew we were doing the show from a transmitter shed. It was low budget. It was fun. And so we're doing the show one night, and there's a knock on the door of the transmitter shed, and this farmer comes in. He says, hey, Mr. Enyart, I knew you'd be here, and I got these eggs. An eagle laid eggs on my farm, and the eagle is not coming back, and I'm worried about these eggs. I thought you'd know what to do with them. So he gives me these eggs while I'm on live TV, and we don't know what to do with them. I call the Division of Wildlife. You just get a recording. I call the Denver Zoo. You just get a recording. I don't know what to do with them. I don't want to waste them. So I ask the engineer who's running the station, I ask him, do we have a hot plate in the break room? So he said, we have one. So he gets it. He needs to find an extension cord. And he brings it, sets it up on my desk for the TV show. And I decide I don't want them to go to waste. So I might as well cook them, scramble them, at least recycle them, do something with them. Don't let them just rot. So he goes in the break room. He finds salt and pepper, and we're cooking them. People are calling in. And liberals, of course, are angry. Some people get that we're doing, you know, pulling one over on them. Some people don't. And this gal calls in, a liberal, pro-choice. She's angry at me. And I ask her if she's pro-choice. Oh, yeah, I'm pro-choice. Oh, but she wants to protect an eagle egg, but she's pro-choice. So I said to her, when does an eagle become an eagle? And she answered, we couldn't have scripted it any better. She answers, because I said, it's not an eagle yet. It hasn't been hatched. It hasn't been born. It's just an egg, you know, like in an ovary, but it's fertilized, but it's just an egg. And so I said, when does an eagle? She said, no, that's an eagle. You can't kill it. I said, it's not even born yet. How could I kill it? It's not. And so I asked her, when does an eagle become an eagle? And she said, I guess at the time of conception. It's like she almost couldn't get the words out of her mouth, and they hurt as they were coming up her throat. So if you've never seen that show, you'll want to. It's fun. It's one of the classic Bob and Yurt Live TV shows we have available on DVD. It's called Eagle Eggs, and you could order it, like with all our materials. Call us at 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Or you could go online to our website, KGOV.com, and you click on the store, which is in the very top right of our website, and you go in the store, and it's organized in different departments, literature, videos, audio. And in the video section, right off the bat, you'll see it there, Eagle Eggs. Classic Bob and Yurt Live. When does an eagle become an eagle? We have so many neat videos, like a Bible tour of Israel. That won an award. What was the name of that award we won? The Golden Moses Award. That's a neat video, a Bible tour of Israel. We have live from Las Vegas when I got to debate many of the conventioneers. Really, really fun stuff. Bob debates predestination against Pastor Brian Schwartley. And environmentalists lose a 10-year bet. That gives you an idea of a few of our videos. In fact, we'll do a commercial now.
You hypocrite. Are those the first words that Christ will say to you? Now that's a scary thought. But many Christians overlook the words that Jesus spoke, and they use a cliche instead. Hi, this is Brian Rohrbaugh on behalf of Bob and Yurt Live. Is it possible to be nicer than God? What about meaner than God? Remember the words from a popular song? They will know we are Christians by our love. Many Christians who ignore what God calls sin think that they are being nice by not confronting a sinner. But is it really nice to withhold God's truth? To let someone think God approves of their behavior? Or is that meaner than God? Find out in the audio series, Nicer Than God, a Bible study on the value of God's Word. I spoke in one part of this series. Find out what I have to say. Order Nicer Than God. It's a fun and timely series on biblical wisdom. Order yours today. Call 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. And ask for Nicer Than God. Or order online at KGOV.com. Now get ready for Bob and Yurt Live.
You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty, and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or kgov.com.
This is Bob Inyart inviting you to read our manuscript, The Plot, for an overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 800-836-9278. That's 836-9278. Welcome back to Bob and Yurt Live. Have you checked out our website? If you've been listening to this show and you haven't yet gone to the website, you'll love it. It's KGov, KGOV.com, and our sister sites like ShadowGov.com and TheologyOnline.com. And we invite you to post your thoughts about these radio programs. If you go to KGov.com, right at the top, you'll see that you could email Bob and comment on our forum. And if you click on comment on our forum, you go to a Bob and Yurt Live forum, and there are thousands of posts there. And there's an entry for every day's show, and the summary of the show is there. And you can put your thoughts. And sometimes it raises quite a debate, and other times it's just a sleeper. I mean, who can tell why? Sometimes we post a show every day at the Bob and Yurt Live forum, and nobody posts any comments. Other times, there are 200 or 300 comments posted for a show. So you get to decide what you're interested in, go out and strike up a conversation with someone on the internet at KGov, KGOV.com. Let's go to the phones in Anchorage, Alaska. Rusty, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Thank you for taking my call again, Bob. I had two things real fast. I used to debate Forrest on the internet.
Forrest the Atheist.
Yes.
Wow. So you debated.
Very good interview.
Okay. You debated with him. How long ago was this?
Oh, 8 years.
So he was.
Quite a while.
He was in Hawaii. You're in Alaska.
Right. Didn't he have a radio station show in Hawaii at one time?
You know what? That brings back memories. Either that or he was a guest on some pro-homosexual show or something or other in Hawaii. I don't remember.
I was very shocked about how polite he sounded on the air compared to his postings. They were just...
Yeah, that happens, right? People, it's like when you're driving, people are more aggressive than when they're standing in line at the grocery store.
Good point.
And on the internet, people like James Hilston, for example, when he posts, you think that he's dripping acid on his keyboard at Theology Online. Then he comes on the show. He's the nicest guy in the world.
Right.
So obviously God predestined him to post mean and to talk nice.
Yeah.
So all these quirks that people exhibit, they're actually predestined quirks. Interesting.
I don't disagree with you very much, but about the immigration, I disagree that we should allow large numbers of basically any culture into our country.
And why would that be?
Well, my main thing is, and, you know, I'm not racist, and I agree with you about, I really feel sorry for those people, about mainly because of their government.
Yes,
but
right.
Even and, when I was a kid.
And their religion. Bad government and bad religion leads to poverty.
Yes.
And
they're good people. I was just down there about a year ago.
Yeah.
And, but even when I was a kid and going there, I found the barter system, you know, they buy and sell and you have to argue about the price of everything.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry?
It's irritating.
I found it inherently dishonest.
Uh-huh.
It leads to a culture of, I don't know how to describe it, like a socialist mentality.
Well, all right. Now, Rusty, you're really giving me quite a broad argument here that's going to be hard for me to get my arms around. But a couple observations right off the bat. Bartering is not inherently immoral. Now, but I guess you'd want to modify that and say the kind of bartering they did in Tijuana was irritating.
Yeah, you're right. Bartering is not inherently. You're, yeah, that is a
right.
You got me there, Bob.
Okay.
You're fast.
All right.
I see where one person, if you're bartering for everything you get, it's, well, how much can I get out of this person compared to, well, what is this product really worth?
Yeah. Well, Rusty, let me concede. Let's say we're talking about a country where their economy is utterly evil. Let's say Russia during communism. So Russia's economy is utterly evil, which means the average Russian is broken in their worldview and their outlook. But that doesn't mean to me that I would discourage Russians from coming here. Like my daughter-in-law, she's the neatest gal, Zhanna. She's born in Moscow. She's a Jew born in Moscow, raised as an atheist. She emigrates here with her father to Brooklyn, and her mother's KGB, by the way. Anyway, she meets my son, Josiah. He starts taking her to a Messianic Jewish church. She eventually becomes a Christian. They eventually get married. And now they bought a home close to Denver Bible Church so they could raise their children in a godly environment. That's just the story. That story doesn't prove a conclusion, but it's an illustration that I would want Russians to come here also, even though they've grown up in an atheistic, you know, a godless society.
Right. But to me, large numbers hold, you know, I mean, that's one thing I'm sure you've heard is that Mexicans have come in such large numbers that they retain their Mexican culture, their language, yeah, their music.
Well, that is also the fault of America, because we are obsessed with a brutal kind of multiculturalism that attempts to keep people separate, right? Multiculturalism that was healthy would be one that respects other cultures and enjoys other cultures generally. But we have liberals, our universities, many of our governing officials, our institutions try to impose a forced multiculturalism where they force people to stay apart. For example, our government schools should not offer bilingual education where kids go through their education years and they never learn English. Those are destructive things our government does.
That's true, but when you let, you know, tens of millions of people in, especially in like the southern area of our country, Southwest, tens of millions at a time, they are going to tend to live together and retain their culture.
Well, there's nothing wrong with retaining their culture as long as they're not enemies of America and they want to be assimilated generally into the workplace and they want to be productive human beings. That's fine. I grew up, my great-grandfather was born in Italy. And we grew up in New Jersey, and there were Italian ghettos, and they called the Italians Guineas. I don't know where they got that from, and WOPs. And I heard that was because when they came to Ellis Island, they stamped them WOP, without passport. I don't know if that's true. But anyway, there was a wonderful Italian culture in Little Italy right across the Hudson River in New York City, and the Italian food, which is better than, forget the French, they have tiny portions. But great Italian food, and it was fun to be part of this Italian-American culture. But, and the same thing could be true of Mexican-American, except that our government does not know right from wrong, and our institutions, including our schools and universities, are hostile toward our own American culture. And so they're feeding that kind of division into the experience of immigrants. And if it wasn't for us being messed up with our welfare and our criminal system and our multicultural obsession by the liberals, then immigrants, we could welcome them.
I just think that, you know, you mentioned Italians, I'm Irish myself. I remember when they had No Irish Wanted signs back in the 1800s.
Yeah.
But these all these cultures assimilated into our society. There's a few. I know we're not really a Christian nation anymore.
Right.
We do have some Christian values, and one, like I mentioned, that I see as a honest. We expect honesty from our politicians. In Mexico, they expect them to be dishonest. Also, one thing I've read in history, I know Douglas MacArthur, one of his big successes in Japan was to make it where if you don't work, you don't eat, which is also out of the Bible.
Sure, it is.
And that was also established early in our American history.
Rusty, these arguments you're offering are so idiosyncratic. They're so, like, a detail. Like, for example, Mexicans expect their officials to be crooked. Well, so do people who live in Chicago. They expect that, and so do people who live in Jefferson County, Colorado. And so do people especially who live in Washington, D.C. So the arguments you're offering, they just don't seem to be solid for me. I guess your best argument is if tens of millions of people come here and then America will change the way it is.
That doesn't bother me if it does.
Because of course that's what's happened. That's how it's gotten this way.
Sure, exactly.
There were American Indians going around living their lives and killing each other and running away from forest fires, whatever. And Europeans came, they brought the wheel, and they brought a concept of land ownership and a better standard of living and horses and all. And so we came by the tens of millions,
right.
And the American Indians didn't like it. And so I feel that if a government is run well, then people are assets, they're not liabilities. And so the problem with immigration is not Mexicans or Canadians. The problem is Americans. Our government is broken. And so we should advocate securing the border, getting rid of welfare, fixing the criminal justice system, and then welcome people to America. Let them work.
You know what, Bob? I think you just shot down all my arguments. I agree with you.
Hey, Rusty, you're pretty neat.
One other question, though.
Yeah.
What about the pulling wages down? Reducing our wages.
Right. For the kind of labor, mostly, that people don't want to do, primarily, is unskilled, hard labor. But then, of course, when the Mexican immigrant workforce, they've been doing that for a few years. People have been here. They learn a little bit of English. And then they want to do something better. So they want to become carpenters.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they take over the building trades. And so that forces Americans to become people who are citizens here to become more skilled and capable of accomplishing more significant things. And so, you know, India, for example, has extremely inexpensive labor compared to America, and Pakistan's cheaper than India, and so on. You get to Africa, you get in Mexico, where they're going to take a poll. They send people to 1,000 homes to take a survey because the labor is so cheap. That's a reality of the world we live in, and actually it's good. It's good that when we are wealthy, that people around us who are poor can do some of our work and they could become wealthy. That's a good dynamic.
I'll be darned if you don't change my mind again, Bob.
All right, Rusty. Well,
you're good.
Hey, Rusty, when we make an error, call in and stick to your guns.
Yeah, I think your arguments are better than mine on this one, yes.
All right. Well, God bless you. I appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was in Anchorage, Alaska. Haven't been to Alaska in 20 years. 25 years. What a beautiful state. And now we go to the land of Goshen. Where is that? In Egypt? Okay, no. This land of Goshen, this is in India. No. This is in Indiana. This is right here near home. Daryl, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Yes, I'm much closer than India.
Yes, Daryl.
Hey, Bob, I think one of the reasons why people have a misconception or a mistaken notion about what happens when immigrants come here, and they have this idea that is wrong, that the jobs are just a finite quantity.
Oh, that's a great point. That's a great point.
They don't understand that each person who comes here is a market.
Is a market. That's right. And they're going to want to have a reasonably nice standard of living. And for them to do that, they're going to have to serve other people. And then we are going to serve them with some of the products we create and services. They're going to come to our car lot, and they're going to buy a car from us. And that's going to enable me to get the last $1,000 I needed to take my family on a road trip for a vacation.
And businesses need to be created to serve their needs as well.
Right, which is all great. The Bible says, serve one another. And as it turns out, that is the very definition of the economy. The economy is when we serve one another. And the Bible says that when you have many people, then a kingdom, a nation, could be powerful and wealthy. When there are few people, you're in big trouble. Look at Europe. Europe is suffering over a lack of people.
Yes. You know, we're seeing a situation in America with the Social Security system.
Yeah.
Where you have just a few young people paying for lots of old people, and it just can't work.
Well, that's a good point. And we have murdered about 50 million young Americans. 50 million young workers are dead. They were killed by the liberals and by the Republicans, who don't care much about abortion, and by the Democrats and by Planned Parenthood. They killed about 50 million Americans. And so those people would have been doing a lot of work right now, and that work is not being done by young Americans. So that creates a vacuum that pulls in immigrants by the millions. Of course it would. It would have to.
Yes, I was trying to remember, you know, when the other caller talked about politicians, I was trying to remember how long ago it was when I expected my politicians to tell me the truth.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. For me, I think I have to go back to when I was in grammar school.
I think so.
When I campaigned for Richard Nixon for president. I still remember his theme song, Nixon Now More Than Ever, Nixon Now. He was a crook. That was a good one. All right. So, hey, Daryl, thank you so very much.
Have a good day.
God bless you. Appreciate that. I do think it's interesting with Fox News Channel's Tony Snow going to the White House. He's now the new press secretary for George W. Bush. And I don't believe that is going to mean that our government is going to be more righteous, understand right and wrong better now. But it's going to be a more interesting show. It's going to be watching the playoffs when your team is in the playoffs, sort of. You know, just more interesting. So you know how conservatives, we don't like the liberal media, and Tony Snow falls more on the conservative side of the battle between right and left in America. And so he came out swinging against the mainstream media, like the New York Times, which we all hate, right? The old gray lady. We hate the New York Times. We love to hate the Times. And so Tony Snow, one of the first things he does, he issues a press release and he states that the New York Times continues to ignore America's economic progress. So specifically going after a media outlet by name. That's gutsy. That takes guts, and it should be done. So the New York Times continues to ignore America's economic progress. When a Republican is in office, the media tends to downplay the economy of our country. And when a Democrat is in office, the media exaggerates the economy of the country. That's the way it is, right? The mainstream media. You've noticed that, right? Then Tony Snow also issued this statement blasting CBS News. Remember the forged documents deal when they, against all journalistic integrity, went with this story about, based on these forged documents, that Bush didn't serve as he should have in the National Guard. So anyway, Tony Snow issues this. CBS News misleadingly reports that only 8 million seniors have signed up for Medicare prescription drug coverage. But 37 million seniors have coverage. So Tony Snow, CBS is still reeling from the forged documents fiasco, actually. So Tony Snow, he's the new White House press secretary, and he slaps him across the face. They're already stumbling. And he says, hey, you, come here. Slaps him across the face and says, CBS News misleadingly reports that only 8 million seniors have signed up for Medicare prescription drug coverage, but 37 million seniors actually have coverage. So he reports that. Now, is that a good thing or a bad thing for conservatives? That's a bad thing because conservatives are supposed to be against welfare programs, socialism, transferring wealth, right? Liberals talk about wealth transfer as though it goes from the rich to the poor, but so much of our wealth transfer goes from the poor to the rich or the middle class to those who are better off. Like, for example, young working couples with zero, one, or two kids are just starting out and retired senior citizens, who is better off? Well, young couples that are just getting started out with new families, they really struggle. And the government, thanks to the Republicans, tax them and give billions of dollars of that tax money to senior citizens who are way better off. So what's with that? And the government is under this budget crisis of, what do we have, a $9 trillion national debt? I haven't looked at it in 4 months. It was $8 trillion back then. Whatever, $9 trillion debt, whatever the debt is. And George W. Bush, a Republican, introduces another major entitlement program while he's supposedly concerned about Social Security solvency. And he introduces this massive multi-billion dollar new social welfare program for Medicare prescription drug coverage. What's with that? So Tony Snow, he's a quasi-conservative, right? He's going to go to the White House, be the new press secretary, and beat up the liberals, except this is a liberal thing he's defending. It's a liberal thing. And before Bush would have done it, if Clinton would have done this, Tony Snow would have opposed it. And so would have all the Republicans, for the most part, and all the talk show hosts, conservatives. But now they support it because Bush did it, which is stupid. But we're conservatives. That means we're stupid. And then Tony Snow goes after USA Today, and he writes by name. He says USA Today claims poor, often minority Medicare beneficiaries are not enrolling in Medicare drug coverage. But by April, according to Tony Snow, more than 70% of eligible black Americans have signed up for prescription drug coverage, more than 75% of Asian Americans, and 70% of Hispanics. So Tony Snow, he's bragging about his boss, what a good job they're doing signing up millions of people on another government entitlement program. That's the mark of a true conservative, right? Here at Bob and Yurt Live, we expose the liberal in the conservative. That's what we do. And don't blame us. We're born that way. We can't help it. Right? Hey, we're out of time. Check out our website, KGOV.com.